From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the left starts to panic on the trans issue. Is our national security a political pawn? And trading freedom for security. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. We had a fantastic Washington Watch Live on Thursday of this week, and we want to share some of that with you this weekend. Let's begin as Family Research Council President Tony Perkins introduces our first topic.
Now, we continue to see ongoing progress and momentum at the state level for protecting children from harmful experimental gender procedures. Versions of the SAFE Act to protect children. You know, we talked about it. We worked to get the first one passed in Arkansas. We now have seen 23 states in total have passed these, most recently in Ohio, where the governor vetoed it, but it was overridden. And that's happened, I think, about five times. But the left and those pushing the LGBTQ agenda have not retreated. And they won't, okay? I'm just going to tell you that. They're not. They are relentless. They are going to force public affirmation of what they're doing, even when it is damaging to children and even to themselves. And so now we're seeing a very coordinated effort to intimidate and silence policymakers, to stir up fear about those who want to protect children. Both today in the Washington Post and the USA Today primarily ran major stories doing just that. Joining me now to discuss this, Dr. Jennifer Bowens, the director of the Center for Family Studies here at the Family Research Council prior to her work at FRC. Dr. Bowens worked as a clinician and researcher addressing the effects of psychological trauma. As a researcher, she studied the effects of mass traumatic events like 9/11. Dr. Bowens, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you, Tony.
All right. So two stories in two major news outlets, and lengthy stories at that. Slanted stories, too. Is this a coordinated effort to try to, now that we've seen this successful move of the states to protect children, it appears that they're trying to blur the lines and say, oh, everybody that's trying to protect children wants to stop everyone from having a right to do what they want to do?
Absolutely. I think the sign of this is that we're making progress, right?
Yeah.
We are making tremendous progress in protecting kids from terrible procedures that will cause physical and psychological and spiritual damage for the rest of their lives, apart from God, you know, bringing healing and intervention. Right. But that's going to be the result. So
to see these move so rapidly, and I've been in policy for a while, I mean, in a very short period of time, we have nearly half the states that have adopted the SAFE Acts, which prohibit on minors experimental drugs and surgeries. I mean, that shows that it's a compelling, compelling position. Yes.
Yeah, because when we actually look at the data, we see how poor the data is that's been used to support these practices. We can see, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out kids can't make decisions about, you know, what they're going to wear tomorrow to school, let alone gender identity.
Well, you've talked about their brains are not fully developed.
That's right.
Until they're about, what, 25?
Yeah. And that's why we have to work even harder to protect children first when it comes to these types of procedures, because they're the most vulnerable.
And we don't let them drive. We don't let them, you know, get tattoos. We don't let them, you know, buy a gun. But yet we're going to allow them to chop off body parts?
Right. It's insanity. And I think what's happening is that the left is getting threatened by the move that we're seeing for children.
Well, I think it's this. When you combine this women's sports, you combine the SAFE Acts, that people are saying, wait a minute, this is not right. And they're afraid that their whole house of cards could come tumbling down.
Yes. And so the latest move is, you want to take this away from adults, too. And at the end of the day, we're all about protecting people, loving people well, promoting practices that are going to bring healing and life and wholeness to them and also to communities. So it's actually a very loving position that we're taking to say this isn't the way. Gender dysphoria is but a mere symptom of some other issues that are going on. And if you go down this path, it's not going to lead to wholeness or happiness. It may in the short term, we can concede that, because you got what you think that has been promoted as an answer to you, but it's not going to produce fruit in the long term. You can ask Walt Heyer, our own Walt Heyer, who's gone through this as an adult.
Right. Let's talk about the science of this, the health ramifications, the fact that whether it's children or it's adults, it's still experimental.
It's very much experimental. In fact, just before coming on here, I was looking at a report from a WPATH, that's a transgender activist health organization. And one of the surgeons about a year ago was doing a grand rounds, and he's doing a presentation, and he says, there's these gender clinics popping up all over the place, and some aren't trained well. Some of these surgeons aren't trained well, but some care is better than no care, but right?
We have
to get this right, is what he said.
Well, I mean, in the piece in the Washington Post, and this is, we actually talked about this yesterday with the Attorney General of Missouri, that Planned Parenthood has become a major source, a major source for the transgender treatment.
Yeah. So what kind of quote unquote health care is that when you go to a clinic and within a half hour, an hour, you get a prescription for something that is going to utterly transform your body and brain chemistry? That is not how you do health care.
Right.
You give proper assessments, you look at underlying conditions, but that's not the way you go about healthcare.
Now, we're almost out of time. You have, teaming up with some others, you've written a pretty extensive piece on the SAFE Acts and this whole issue.
Yeah. So what we did is we wrote a piece called Trans Youth Phenomenon, and it's basically asking the hard questions and critiquing the research that's out there. And it's rather thorough, looks at the physical, because we also have a pediatrician who wrote with us, but it looks at the psychological issues that have been surrounding the transgender ideology, but also the social, just this, the whole gamut of issues.
So people can be better equipped and informed as to what this is really about, and ask questions and push back. We just cannot allow this to roll over us and reach our children.
Yeah. Jesus said the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
And if we don't start from a premise of truth, which is what the transgender ideology does, it starts from a false premise. So we must embrace truth. And this resource will help you get at what the truth really is.
And folks, you can get a copy of that. Text SAFE, S-A-F-E, to 67742. That's SAFE to 67742, and you'll get a link. Download it for free. Dr. Jennifer Bowen, it's always great to see you.
You too.
Thanks for being here.
Good to be here with you.
All right, folks, we're coming back with more Washington Watch on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking with Georgia Congressman Rich McCormick about yesterday's statement of a national security threat. We're going to explore that a little further, so don't go away.
For 40 years, Family Research Council has been in Washington, D.C., championing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. But we need your help to keep going. With your support, we can continue to equip believers to stand firm in our culture and defend biblical truth in the halls of government. Will you consider partnering with us today? To give, text the word GIVE to 67742.
All right, to get that resource that Dr. Bowens was talking about, just text the word SAFE, S-A-F-E, to 67742, and you'll get a link, and you can download the PDF of that study. Again, that's SAFE to 67742. All right, in a very cryptic statement yesterday, Chairman of the House Intelligence Committee Michael Turner called on President Biden to declassify information regarding a national security threat without revealing the specific danger. Now, media reports indicate that Chairman Turner likely was referring to Russian advancements in developing a space-based nuclear weapon. But many in Congress find the timing of the release curious, coming just days after the Senate passed a $95 billion spending bill primarily focused on Ukraine, And as the House was considering reforms to the government's spying authorizations, that's FISA, Section 702, which allows warrantless surveillance. Joining me now to discuss this and more is Congressman Rich McCormick. He serves on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, the House Armed Services Committee, and the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. He represents the 6th Congressional District of Georgia. He is also a decorated Marine helicopter pilot and an emergency room doctor. Dr. McCormick, welcome back to Washington Watch and Semper Fi.
Semper Fi, good to be with you.
So you serve on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. You've spent time in the Middle East. You know about threats to our nation. Your reaction to yesterday's statement from Chairman Turner?
You know, one of the things that concerns me, not just what's going on with Russia in space, but just the fact that we in Congress cannot keep a doggone secret. You had a bunch of people go into a skiff, look at classified information within minutes. It was out on the internet. That bothers me more than anything. I'm a military guy. We don't allow that. We track those things down. But in Congress, there's no accountability. We know that Russia has a lot of developed programs to do us harm. There's things that weren't briefed yesterday that worry me, not just to do with outer space, but I know things that have nothing to do with things we've been briefed at all. But we know that one dirty bomb in a city could disrupt an entire American society. An EMP, which would be also very easy to design, could disable hospitals and businesses and disintegrate records that we need to keep track of things. There are plenty of ways to mess with us, with whether it be our water system, our food source. There's a lot of ways to mess with us. I don't think we should be open on how we gather our intelligence or what we actually know. I think that's very, very dangerous to our intel community.
And I also think we've got to be careful of the non-technical aspects. I mean, I think Israel learned that after October the 7th, when Hamas invaded their country using low-tech means, just their feet walking across the border. We've got that problem. You know, I'm more concerned about our southern border than I am about Russia potentially putting something up in space, not diminishing the threat there. But we know we have a threat on our southern border.
That's a fact. And think about it. Nearly 2 million people got away. These are people that didn't want to be caught, the most nefarious type, the people who have been wearing carpet on their feet, wearing camouflage, having backpacks full of who knows what. It doesn't take much material to get into the United States for low-tech disruption of our cities. And that's why I go back to dirty bombs, EMPs, contaminants. It could be a fungus. It could be a bacteria. It could be a new virus. It could be a lot of different things to be thrown out. We know the fentanyl. It doesn't take much fentanyl to poison an entire city worth of people. We lost over 100,000 people last year. When I was an ER physician last year, I lost 4 patients. I'm just one ER doctor. I lost 4 patients anywhere from 16 to 37 years old. Can't do anything about it. I mean, this is a real invasion with real consequences. And these people could mean all kinds of harm from all different countries. We need to do a better job for sure. We owe the people that.
Well, and I've talked about this earlier in the program. I mean, your time in the Marine Corps as a helicopter pilot was the result of our global war on terror. And that came about because of 19 terrorists on 9/11. 19. We know that from 2021 and to the end of last year, 300 suspects, illegal aliens who were on the known terrorist list, the terrorist watch list, were detained. And how many more got across? So we know that this is a threat to our country.
The thing about it is well over 300, by the way. And those are the people that were dumb enough to get caught. Now, you talk about the smart ones out of that 2 million people, the ones who didn't want to get caught, 2 million got approved. If you just had 1 per 1,000, which I'm sure is higher than that, 1 per 1,000 meant ill will towards us. You're talking about thousands upon thousands of criminals with bad intentions. And we already know we have child trafficking. We already know we have rape. We already know we have drug problems. We already know we have crime. We know we have diseases come across the border. We have no accountability whatsoever. But these people are the ones who wanted to get away. They don't want to be accountable. They're not looking for asylum. They're people who go back and forth, transmitting all kinds of bad things to the United States. And that is a massive, massive scale problem that the president has not addressed in one iota.
So final question for you, 30 seconds left. Congress comes back at the end of the month. We've got just a few days before the current funding for the federal government ends. Will we see a line drawn in the sand and have that fight over the border?
I think so. The speaker has basically promised that. I think there's plenty of us that have made that our line in the sand because America wants it. It's not just a Republican issue. It is a bipartisan issue that we have a safe, secure border. That is our constitutional responsibility to protect the people. And I think we will draw a line in the sand.
Congressman Rich McCormick, always great to see you, and appreciate you joining us this afternoon.
Always a pleasure. God bless you.
All right. Congressman Rich McCormick of Georgia serves in the 6th Congressional District. You know, we got some really good men and women that are serving in Congress, and they are fighting to do the right thing, many of them. And that's one of the things that people are amazed when they come up here, because you don't see a lot of this on TV unless you watch this program. Many men and women of deep, abiding faith, followers of Jesus Christ that are here. That's a reason for you to pray. Pray for them. Pray for their strength. Pray for their encouragement. And pray for their victory as they push for the right things. It's important that you pray. Hold up their hands, their arms, like Aaron and Hur did for Moses. Intercede for them. All right, don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch on the other side of this break.
Most of us have wrestled with deep questions about the meaning of life at one time or another. Thankfully, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview's latest publication, titled An Introduction to Worldview, provides the answers. With this new resource, we invite you, your family, and your church to evaluate what makes up a worldview and to see how a biblical worldview provides the most satisfying answers to life's biggest questions. To read the full publication, visit frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. The website is tonyperkins.com. And I, again, want to encourage you to sign our petition that we're going to deliver to the House leadership to stand firm on the border. I'm telling you, folks, this is a big deal. This is not about immigration. Right? It really isn't. It's about national security. And the information I've seen and heard and what's been made public, this is a threat to our country and our government, our president. They're ignoring it. So text the word border to 67742. That's 67742. Well, as we were talking about earlier yesterday, in a very cryptic statement, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Michael Turner, called on President Biden to declassify information regarding a national security threat without revealing this specific danger. Now, we, 24 hours later, everything is out there. Media reports indicate that the chairman likely was referring to Russian advancements in developing a space-based nuclear weapon. Now, I've spoken to several members of Congress since this threat was hinted at, first actually in a letter to members from Turner. And let me say this from the outset. I did not ask any member of Congress for information that they may have gained from a classified briefing. I've held a security clearance, and while many don't seem to care about leaking classified information, it's a crime. As Congressman McCormick was talking about, it's a shame. You know, you're entrusted with that information, you should keep it. So I never ask members for classified information. That would be wrong for me to put them in that position. So by piecing public information together with my conversations, the timing of this threat is very suspicious. Why? Well, the release of this comes just days after the Senate passed a $95 billion spending supplemental bill that the bulk of it was for Ukraine, which the House Speaker has said he will not take up. And also yesterday, I was up on the Hill yesterday morning, and this was discussed, the House was scheduled to vote on the controversial reauthorization of FISA's Section 702, which has been used by our own government to spy on Americans. It's this warrantless surveillance. Now, Chairman Turner has been a big advocate for reauthorizing this as it is, without any reforms. In fact, he and some of his intel colleagues were ready to take down what's called the rule that would have advanced the reform version of that law. That literally means embarrassing the Republican leadership by killing this bill on the floor of the House. While I don't question the validity of the supposed threat, I do question the timing of its release and the motivation for that to scare the American public and members of Congress into sacrificing fundamental freedoms, which is absolutely wrong. Joining me now to discuss this is FRC Senior Vice President Jody Heiss. He previously served in Congress, which included serving on the Subcommittee on National Security for the House Oversight Committee. Jody, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Always great to be with you, Tony. Very important topic here.
Yeah, you've been very outspoken on the need to reform Section 702 of FISA. Is it just me, or did the timing of this, alleged threat from Chairman Turner, a big cheerleader for Section 702's reauthorization, does it look suspect?
Yeah, you know, one thing you learn around this city, and I know you've been around here long enough, you've seen it over and over and over, but nothing happens around here without political motives behind it. And for this to just coincidentally come up right at the point where the funding for Ukraine and all these things, the FISA reauthorization, where those bills are in play, there's no way that anyone can convince me that that's just sheer coincidence. We have known for a long time the threat that Russia poses to our country and the world. And therefore, the timing of this, when Chairman Turner is trying to push through this reauthorization of FISA, is certainly no coincidence whatsoever. And to me, quite frankly, it's shameful. I think there needs to be some action against this in terms of investigating what's really going on. But this is a direct attack against the Fourth Amendment. And people need to understand the FISA is a direct attack, warrantless, as you brought up, intro, in this segment. This is an attack on the Fourth Amendment and the privacy the American people have and the assurance they have that this government will not spy on them and seize their property.
So the government can have these tools, but they just have to have restrictions on them. I mean, this is the same. We talked about this in the program yesterday. This was what was used against then candidate Donald Trump when he was running for president. They spied on members of his campaign.
That's right. And it was all a hoax. And yet they continued using these.
And there was no oversight.
Yeah. And there was no oversight whatsoever. And the restrictions to go after a private citizen is, number one, there has to be probable cause that we believe, and here's the reasons why we believe this individual has committed a crime. And then with that probable cause, you get a warrant to search. And FISA bypasses all of that.
Yeah. You know, this brings up another question here. Could part of this problem, I mean, most of these are people that are in the United States. Now, even the foreign actors that they're looking at, you know, some of them are overseas, but some of them here in the States. Could this also be a part of our immigration problem of who we're letting into this country?
Absolutely. And that's what really, a part of what really gets in my crawl over all this. We're talking about, we need to reauthorize FISA to keep our country safe. We need to be able to know who's here for harm. And yet our borders are letting tens of thousands of people in every month. How many, perhaps, of tens of thousands are terrorists who are now here?
But it's not just the border. It's even our legal immigration system that are letting people come into this country that, frankly, shouldn't be here because they have checkered backgrounds with connections with different entities that would suggest that they may not be wanting to integrate into or assimilate into our country and our culture.
Absolutely. And that is part of the problem. If we are going to be serious about trying to find these bad actors who have ill intent against the United States, then some of these common sense issues need to be resolved, right, from the southern border to how we allow people into this country. And Tony, we cannot bypass the fact that one of the serious threats we now have in this country is an out-of-control FBI who is now going after American citizens and doing so in an abusive manner of our Fourth Amendment.
And Congress knows this.
They know it.
And the Intel Committee knows it. Now, we were talking about this with Warren Davidson yesterday, congressman from Ohio. There are reforms that have been put forward to address this issue. But you have some competing factions within the ranks of the Republicans. You have Turner and the Intel community that do not want any reforms, and they were threatened to take down the rule. You've got the conservative guys wanting the reforms, and if they didn't get it, they were going to take down the rule. So the leadership is really stuck in the middle.
They're stuck in the middle. But here's where they need to, in my opinion, they need to land on, and that is our Constitution.
Yeah.
The Fourth Amendment is not for sale. The Fourth Amendment is not up even for debate. It is It is a part of our Bill of Rights. It's an unalienable right. This is not something that we need to even discuss. And, you know, I think we need to be very clear that when it comes to our constitutional rights, we are not going to even debate these issues. They are what they are.
Well, Jody, again, this is we as American citizens and, you know, all of the folks out there, American citizens, whether you immigrated this country or you were born here or whatever, you're American citizen, you love this country, you're American. Why should we have to give up our liberty to protect this country when we have a government that's adopted policies that is jeopardizing that security?
That's exactly right. And I you made the quote earlier today, I heard you say, with Ben Franklin, who basically said that anyone who's willing to sacrifice their
anyone who's willing to sacrifice fundamental freedoms for the promise of security
deserves neither.
Right.
And that's where we are right now, and our government continues to push these buttons. And listen, we have to stand for our constitutional rights. And I believe Chairman Turner has put this out here to create a sense of fear among the American public.
But that's become the mode of operation.
Absolutely. But it also was intended to create fear among members of Congress.
Yes, it was.
And for that reason, I think Speaker Johnson was very wise in pulling back, saying we're going to vote on this at another time.
I think that he should be removed from his post as chairman of that committee.
I would agree with it. This is an abuse of his position as chairman here.
I mean, I think it was embarrassing for the speaker and for the Republicans for him to go out there and do this, trying to leverage other members. I mean, I was up on the Hill last night talking to several members, and they see this too as a power play. And look, not the only ones. In Moscow, Kremlin spokesman described the claims about a new Russian military capability as a ruse intended to make the U.S. Congress support aid for Ukraine. Quote, it's obvious that Washington is trying to force Congress to vote on the aid bill by hook or by crook.
And by crook.
I think their intelligence is pretty good.
Yeah. And listen, ours is too. And we don't need to take away the rights of the American citizens in order to have quality intelligence in this country.
Jody Heiss, great to see you.
Always great to see you, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being in here today, and thanks for filling in for me on Fridays.
Always an honor.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234.